Migs Cash, and I am Steve Migs, and I'm here with the Reverend Infuego.
Hi.
Hello. Glenn Cannon.
Man, after that, I'm not even sure what to do.
I think a cold shower, maybe?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Going good, Rev.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yet another edition of the Migs Cast that will be shorter than usual, which is still like 40-something minutes.
Yeah, but, right?
Ah, live day's almost gone. Once live day's gone, we could get back to doing some normal ones, or at least to an hour.
Hopefully.
We'll see. We'll be like, we're so used to this now.
Well, but some of them are runaway trains, and they're like 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
Yeah, yeah. You get the good, you get the bad.
Those tend to be the ones people are like, last week's episode was hilarious. And we're like, oh, we don't even remember what we talked about.
No. except for the Michael Winslow one. Like, most of the time, like, oh, that was really funny what you talked about. And I'm like, What did we talk about? You got to remind me.
Do you guys get the random thanks or people like, oh, dude, listen to the cast, thanks.
Yes.
Like,
why?
What did I do?
Like, you gave love to my band, man.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, if I didn't have this sheet in front of me that says colonoscopy together, I would forgot that we did the whole thing about colonoscopies last time.
That's right.
Colonoscopies. Colonize those colonoscopies.
Talking about being later in life and observing our rectal health.
Oh, yeah. You guys are going to hold hands and some nice soothing music is going to play and you're going to get a snake up your butt.
And I feel like that was a conversation that was super fun until I described what we talked about on the Migs Cast with my wife, and she did not think that was as entertaining.
She wasn't amused?
She's like, wait, you guys are going to do what? I'm like, oh, babe, we got like another 5 years until this happens. But the plan
is, we're going to hold hands and do group colonoscopy.
I'm not going to come home after my colonoscopy. I'm going to spend the day with Glenn and the Rev. She's like, all right, cool. How do we explain that one to our daughter? I don't know. That's up to you.
Yeah, we
sometimes a brother needs moral support.
That's right.
When a stranger puts a VHS camcorder, shoulder-sized camcorder, into your backside.
Daddy, what's VHS?
You might need to have wings and drinks with a friend afterwards to feel normal.
No, I keep not getting to this because obviously we've been doing shorter episodes. We haven't been able to do as many voicemails, emails, and text messages and just talk about things in that world. And this is kind of it's a bummer way to start things off, but I keep meaning to bring it up, and I want to show some love for Mama Hawk Nato, who, if you don't know, unfortunately passed away a few weeks ago. An incredible part of this podcast. One of my favorite things that has happened because of this podcast is that she became a fan of it through her son and then obsessively listened and would call and text and do all these great things and really just like had such an incredible spirit and incredible attitude. She came out to Migs Fest.
She was at the first one and the second.
Yeah, I was about to say both of them.
Dressed as Ozzy.
I don't really remember her in the first one. There are pictures that prove that her and I hung out together, but that was just because I was in a different world.
The picture I put up when I found out she passed away of me kissing her at the side of her head.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's by the stairs at Studio 7 at the first Migs Fest.
I think you're right.
I'm certain that's where that took place.
Absolutely, man. So I just wanted to show a lot of love for her.
She was there. I'm basically verifying that she was there.
I have a picture next to her. I think there's a good picture that Dwayne Hawk Nato took of her and I standing next to each other while watching Windowpane. Kind of a cool thing. And there are no words to say how much we love Mama Hawk Nato. I do want to play a voicemail that we got from Hawk Nato. Talking about it because I felt like this is something I keep meaning to play on our podcast. He's just got a great attitude. Obviously, he's thoughts for him and his family and everybody that knew Mama Hawk Nato, because she, as we've learned on this podcast, is just an incredible spirit, an incredible soul, and we are worse off without her. If that makes sense,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But here's Hawk Nato giving us a voicemail.
If it plays,
my mute button not work.
Is anything working?
I've got you.
Here we go. Let's try this now.
All right.
Hey, guys.
There
we
are.
Hawk Nato.
Of course, this is like the world's worst.
I just went to clear my head, and I felt like the whole room.
It's like,
I could hear me.
Here's
back
the voicemail.
My heater. I don't think the heater in my little red Chevy's working. My toes are still numb.
Is that a euphemism?
I'm so sorry about that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That was
fine.
Welcome to the Migs Cast.
Yeah. How else would we pay tribute to someone we love than this way?
Well, she knows us very well.
Hey guys, this is Hawk Nato. I think I'm sure you guys all know by now that Mama Hawk Nato has passed on. And I sent you guys personally each some messages, but she wanted me to tell all of you guys that she loves everybody, all the Twitter people, everybody from the Mixcast, that she loves them very, very much. That was the message she gave to me to give to you. before she left us. I just wanted you guys to know that. And please, nobody be sad. It's not what she wanted. Let's just celebrate her life. And also from me, thank all of you guys so much. So much. Just much love from me and Mama. And just want to say thank you, guys. And I think that's kind of it. It's been rough, but thank you. And you guys are all awesome. Everybody's awesome. Again, much love to you guys. And keep up the good work. We all love you. Bye-bye.
We love you too.
Yeah.
Much love to you.
Yeah, man.
I do have a voicemail from Mom, and it was the last voicemail she left us. We never got to playing it.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like we have to. You got to do
right?
that.
Like, I was torn on it. I'm like, is it bad taste? I'm like, well, no, the intentions are right. And she loved calling our. I mean, she would call all the time and text all the time, and we would always like hopefully get to them, but we didn't always get to every single one of them, but it didn't matter to her. Like, she just loved talking to us because we were kind of in the house with her when she would listen, and because she knew that like we had so much love for her, and it was like her boys hanging out in the living room while and she's eavesdropping on her three idiot adopted sons as we talk about colonoscopies and other stupid stuff.
Oh god!
So I do have I'm glad I label them because sometimes I don't know which one to what, but if I hear something and I'm like, oh, that's from Stevie. All right, voicemail Stevie, and this one's the last voicemail I believe that we got from Mama Hawk NATO. So here, let's check it out. And much love, Mama.
Hi, guys. It's Mama. Thinking about you again. Think about you all the time because you're sitting here right here beside me on the wall. So I'm always thinking about you. And we'll talk to you soon. You guys have a nice weekend. Love you. Bye-bye.
That's a sweet one.
Yeah.
She had She's the best. Did Hawk NATO send you guys photos there of her wall there?
Yes.
She had a framed photo of us up on the wall. Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool.
I still have the framed photo that she signed of her dressed up as Ozzy.
Yeah. Yep.
I still have that.
It's on my desk. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's on mine as well.
Anytime I sit down to work on music, it's sitting right there, dude. Yeah.
That is like the best costume because she had an Ozzy vibe to her when she did the hair and the glasses.
Just the hair. You put the round glasses on her and you're like, wow.
It's done. Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah. So, we love you, Mama. And we're going to miss you. And I mean, you'll forever be a huge part of this podcast.
Totally.
Huge part. Like, it is like one of those moments and one of those people when you think about, oh crap, I'm tired, I don't feel like staying at work later than I usually do, or oh crap, I got a stupid live day meeting that so am I gonna wait on, you know, like, and then you get these messages and you meet these people that are connected to our podcast that I would have never met had it not been for this podcast, and I can only speak for myself, but I feel super blessed that we have an audience like we do.
Yeah,
that we had a son and his mom bonding over the stupidity that we have here on the Mixcast.
And just going back to like the Mixfest itself, I think those were really the way that I saw how much like the fan base really, really loves what we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get the voicemails and we get emails and we get all these texts and stuff like that, but it doesn't really hit until like these people will go out and hang out with you and want to party with you.
Yep.
And it's just, it was always positive vibes with everyone at MixFest.
Like, and tell us like how whatever we do makes them feel less sad.
Yeah.
And that's just like, that's heavy. You know?
Getting to meet fans of the show and then just like seeing the disappointment in their eyes when they meet me in person.
Like, Glenn, I thought you'd be taller.
Like, oh, man.
Yeah. And Reg, we bring up like all the great voicemails. I mean, here's like an example. Here's another voicemail. I don't know who it's from, but let's just check it out. Here, a voicemail from one of our fine listeners on the MixCast. If it freaking plays. Man, this phone is moving slow today.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. It's MixCast. It's your old buddy, Uncle Ricky. Just thought I'd call in and let everybody know I'm not dead yet.
Oh, Jesus. That's the timing
right,
on that.
All right, guys.
I know,
that's
right?
That's amazing. Oh, man.
I'm not even
No. Mama would be laughing wherever she is. She's laughing about the timing of that.
I have a strong feeling we've already listened to this one already. I just never deleted it from my freaking phone. All right.
All right, guys. Got a joke for you.
Oh, dear.
What do a nearsighted guy in college get? And a puppy have in common. A wet nose.
Jesus. Right.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Hey, I didn't have to bleep that one.
I'm not dead yet.
Okay, we get it. You not understand when we're playing this?
Ricky, come on, man.
He doesn't know. There's no context until after the fact.
You know what? There was a long time, though, that we didn't have Ricky. He went on a hiatus.
For a long time.
We really actually did. Like, he would always send us, like, it was weekly, he would send us a bad joke.
Yeah,
and they were awful.
I remember you guys being like, horrible. Dude, it's Ricky. And I was like, oh. And I'd been on the show for like a year.
Yeah.
And it's like, who's Ricky?
He went for a good year or two.
Yeah.
Of almost every week. And I think what happened was the guy said that it was hurting his voice doing that voice, and he couldn't keep it up.
He had to heal up.
It's like Bubbles on the Trailer Park Boys, like,
with his eye.
His vision's glasses. All messed up because he has, like, because he wears these stupid bottle cap glasses.
Right.
Yeah.
And he has good vision.
It messed his eyes
And it
up.
Messes up his eyes, not knowing that this show would go for like a billion seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's like whenever something's really popular, it's because it's causing pain to somebody.
I'll never forget
it's amazing.
When those guys were at the station back at the old building and they were going to go in the men's room, and the guy who plays Ricky, he asked someone on the show, he's like, are you guys doing video of this? And it's before really everyone was on Facebook Live and all that. And they're like, no, we don't think so. He goes, good. And they're like, well, why? He goes, I don't have to wear these stupid glasses then. I was like, that's pretty funny.
Everywhere
like,
he goes, he has to pop those babies on.
Because if he doesn't, he doesn't look like Ricky.
Oh, man, that's rough.
That was along those same lines.
Or Bubbles.
Yeah,
Ricky's
Bubbles.
Ricky's a foul-mouthed caller that has bad timing when he says things.
I always was super happy when we were done with Tasing My Ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because...
Hardcore!
Yeah, that sucked. Like, it was funny when it was a somewhat working taser, and then the engineer's like, this isn't working quite right. Let me fix it. And he did.
Oh, and so now you're taking...
And then it was working like the full-on, like, yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Who was the person that tased you specifically?
It was...
Might have been me.
No,
because it's one of those things where I'd be like, look, man, I'm not going to do this to him. Like, they're like, you're glad in the show, glad in this and that, and the X, Y, and Z. I'd be like, look, yeah.
Well, here's the
I'm
deal.
Not he going was down, to do this
and,
to him.
And to be perfectly
you
honest.
Know, like, yeah, dude, down or not, I don't think I could have done that to you.
We
man.
Have the taser. You want to try?
No.
Do we still have that?
I'm not
I think
like
it's still
that.
In there. Oh, my God.
I brought that with me. You never know when you'll need a taser.
When we first started doing stuff, and I've subscribed a lot of the times to kind of the jackass mentality of, it's not going to kill me, it's going to be a little stupid, but it
well,
might hurt a little.
Nail your scrotum to the
See, that
table.
Might kill me.
That's not going to kill you.
That might kill me.
No, dude, it's just a swatch of flesh.
That might kill me. And so along those lines, I was like, yeah, we'll do it. That'll be fine. And it was, again, it was a not fully functional taser.
It was an unpleasant tickle.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And then it got fixed, and we did it once, and I was like, I got a medical thing. I can't do this.
Yeah.
To stop my heart.
Yeah. And at that point, I was like, no, this is real. So let's pass on this one.
And it was the easy argument. Like, I'm like, well, I'm not going to say no, you must do it. It's like, we don't need to do this. So yeah, that's totally fine, Rev. But it was pretty epic.
And it's like the best thing about that whole thing was how just crazy it sounded. It sounded amazing. Yeah.
Was it just the crackle, crackle, crackle?
Yeah. Like the one, like, it's like...
Some of them go tick, 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 tick. Oh, yeah, that's bad.
You got that little, like, blue laser, it looks like, going across it. It was pretty badass.
Oh, yeah, it was badass.
I've never experienced one for all the things that have happened to me in the
You've never been tased?
I've never been tased.
I'm shocked.
I've been maced, but I haven't been tased. I see what you did
I agree your sentiment, but I like how you said it.
I think if you ever do a country record, you have to have a song and it'll be a hit. I've been maced, but I've never been tased.
I've been maced, like, but I've never been tased.
Ding, 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 second ding, single. Ding, after Poop Shift.
Ding, after Poop Shift. Ding, he's still torn on the strength of Poop Shift. He's out there somewhere counting piles of money.
Making so much money.
Speaking of country music, I don't even know if they listen to the podcast, but this band was commenting on stuff on my Facebook. It's a local band, and I'm like, that's cool. Like, they always like my stuff. They always comment on
country
it.
Country band?
I knew nothing about them. They're called Iris Drive.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, let me just check them out. And they're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Really?
They're a local band, I would assume. I don't know, but I mean.
That was Iris, not Iris. Irish?
Iris, like the Goo Goo Dolls.
I thought
song.
Okay. Irish Drive, too.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, that's kind
of
neat.
I had a couple shots of whiskey before we started this episode.
It's like just whiskey and fist fighting.
Episode.
Let's see. I'll pull up a little bit of one of their songs.
Yeah.
I was like, it was pretty rad.
I've never known so dependent on another. Seeking now to be reborn, cause I was born sick. And I'm loving me, and I'm hating me the same. them say.
Like the production.
Yeah.
So we never change. We're all the same.
It's good.
We're trying to find the place. We're all sick the same. So we never change.
Wow. That took off and got really good.
That's what I mean. I was like, oh, let me listen to them. In my head, I'm like, they're nice enough to comment on my stuff. The least I could do is listen to some of their music.
That's a good way to be.
And I spent the whole drive listening to their entire EP, which is called, I think it's called like the Nashville Sessions. Bridges, the Nashville Sessions.
Cool.
And the, again, Iris Drive, not Irish Drive. That's a different.
Dirty?
Well, now I know why I had an E next to the song.
Oh, the E is for explicit.
Explicit.
E is for E. Sorry.
No, he's breaking it down and just starts throwing in S-bombs and getting a little crazy there.
That's, you know.
That's the outlaw in outlaw country.
That's right. They don't F around, man. Iris Drive. Check them out. Called Bridges, the Nashville Sessions. That's a song called Born Sick. And I first song on the record. Again, like I always say, first song is a great indicator, I think, on how the record's going to go. And dude, from there on out, it's a super fun record. So it's kind of funny how, of all ways to discover a band, it's because they were like liking my Instagram posts. And
that's I thought that cool, was,
and they had a comment
isn't
about
that
my
what
wrestling.
Social media is supposed to be for, so we can discover new things, or is it just there so that we can
bitch about who's voting for what?
Exactly.
And, all of that fun stuff.
You guys voting today?
And you know, whatever sporting events going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny, like I didn't even know football season was happening again because I just don't follow sports. And then my news feed.
And you don't have
like,
to drive people to strip clubs anymore that are playing on football teams.
Exactly, man. Right. Memories. Yeah, I haven't been kidnapped recently. But but my news feed will blow up and I'm like, oh, okay, not only was there a game today, but people are upset about the way it turned out. Like, I get all the data I need from my news feed. So,
dude, I was that guy because I was like, you know, I love watching the Seahawks games, but on Sunday I was in Portland for DOA Pro Wrestling.
Right?
Yeah, I wrestled on Sunday. And it was right around, my match was right around when the Hawks game happened. I'm like, oh, I can't pay attention to it until after my match. Match ends, catch a breather. I was hurting by the end of it. Like, just like it was a cardio endeavor for me. Like, this was like the most detailed and most elaborate match I've been a part of, which was awesome. Met a couple people, Joe and his wife, who listened to the Migs cast, are in Portland.
No. Nice. Joe turned up at my show at Billy Blues, and I know he was at your match because he sent me an instant message that was a screenshot of you in the ring.
Oh, sick.
So I don't even think there was text. It was just a shot of Steve. And I'm like, and I think I gave him like the horns and the heart because I knew he was at your match.
Dude, it blew some of the wrestlers away because one of the guys came into the locker room and was like, hey, man, there's a guy who listens that's from here to your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no way. That's too cool. So after the match, I made it a point to go out there to try and find first people I run into. Like the minute I get out and walk, I walk to the right, and then there he is sitting.
Yeah, they're really cool. Super cool.
Had a great chat with them. I told them I didn't bring any merch, and so I was like, I'll mail you guys some shirts, but I got to wait till I print some more because I don't have any more of their size. But once I print them, I'll get them in the mail. I haven't forgotten. But anyways, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the match was super fun. But then I get back into the locker room, and I'm like, I got to watch this game, and it was of course just it goes into overtime, and I got other wrestlers. One of my buddies, Drew Pitfall Jones, about to go out and wrestle. He goes, how are we doing? I'm like, it looks like we're gonna win, man. They're gonna hit this field goal. He's like, awesome. And then he goes out to wrestle. I'm like, he has no idea that they missed the field goal. And now we're in overtime, and this is a giant. So he comes back, he's like, good. I'm like, you missed some stupidity. He's like, but did we win? I'm like, yes, thank God we won.
It's one of those things I'm honestly glad for, because I've got friends that, you know, truly love the Hawks,
mm-hmm.
and it'll mess up not just their day, but their week.
Yes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And it bums me out. I'm like, man, my bro is seriously, like, you know, it's not one of those, you know, because some people kind of rub their nose, whatever, you thumb their nose at that. I think that's lame. Anything that people are into, they're into, and that's what the world is
totally
for.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'm relieved about not being a big sports fan is I don't have that to also drag me down.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
If something happens, like it happens, like I get a flat tire or whatever, but at least I'm not also really sick to my stomach because the Hawks lost.
I used to be I used to let it bug me for like a day or so. Then they won the Super Bowl, and ever since then, man, if they lose a game,
you're like, I'm good.
I'm over it in like 30 seconds. I'm like, what am I? And also, like, when we got to know Luke Wilson and other players, realize
Luke's awesome guy. Yeah.
Those guys get over it rather quickly.
Yeah.
Why are we fans? Like, okay, you want a good example?
People get upset, you know? And I'm like, oh, man, I feel bad. Like, I can tell you're genuinely bummed. Like this ruined your day.
Don't let everyone. It's supposed to be fun. Sports supposed to be fun. But
people get into it.
No, you're absolutely right. And I used to be that way.
There are people that are diehard, you know, not any sports, you know?
Like, for instance, if you're a Cleveland Browns.
You meet the guy that's just, like, drinking himself under the table because of the way the highlight game went.
Oh, that's Ted Smith.
The highlight game.
That's Ted. He's a big highlight fan. I used to watch highlight as a kid. We even had those plastic highlights.
I thought it was cool. You can find it on TV.
Oh, when I was a kid, you could find anything on TV.
Because I forget the highlight was Tron.
We had.
Isn't that like Whirlyball now? Basically, it's highlight and bumper cars.
Yes, which is amazing, by the way.
Highlight and bumper cars?
Yes. Have you ever played Whirlyball?
See, these sports are kind of.
We should do a Mixcast listener party and do Whirlyball.
We should.
So wait, tell me what am I missing here?
Okay, so it's
you're in a bumper car, but you have one of them tubes on your arm?
So it's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those weird sort of like gripper thing, so you can scoop the ball because it's still wiffle balls, and you're going around. It's 5 versus 5, and you're trying to launch them at big targets up like where a basketball hoop would be.
And you're in bumper cars?
And you're in bumper cars. We did this. I did this.
Why is this not an Olympic event?
It's well,
they have like legit championships so across the country this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to pull it up. Dude, you're going to love it.
People get hurt?
There's one in Edmonds, I think.
Yeah, there is one still up in Edmonds. I did it in like Chicago Whiplash this year, and it was. It was intense. Like,
were
people
you under
get
the
really
influence of alcohol?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. And I found out that I'm actually really effing good at this game.
Oh, they have like lacrosse sticks. Those aren't like those highlight.
No,
tubes.
No, they're because they got the scoopers. They're like the highlight. Oh, I don't know what the ones you're watching, but the ones that we had were the little scoopers, like the little highlight scoopers.
Yeah, okay. These are they're like the scoopers, but they're a little hollowed out. So yeah, they look like lacrosse sticks, but they are highlights.
Ah, okay, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you're in a bumper car and you have to throw it into like a basketball hoop.
Yeah, you've got to steer and do this, dude. It's so much fun. It's legitimately fun. And like I said, I'm good at this game.
Amazing.
Like we were really good at this.
Dibs on Rev on my team.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna want that too.
The things you learn.
Yeah, so we gotta do Whirlyball.
Can we take the governors off the car so they go real fast? Because the cars I was just watching on Steve's phone were slow.
No, they're going like 5 miles an hour.
Get the babies ramped up.
They probably feel fast when you're in them,
and
then you watch it back, and you're like, God, we're moving really slow.
And you can smash into people because obviously they're bumper cars. It's super
fun for the whole family. Oh, and then you can go bowling at the one in Chicago. All right, never mind.
Yeah, they had an entire bowling alley and everything. It was like a whole multiplex of stuff. It was great.
It was a good time.
I think I interrupted a Bears joke. Were you making a Bears joke when I started talking about highlight?
I'm glad you brought that up.
I was trying to keep track of what you guys might have been saying when I say something
No, we were
stupid.
Talking about obsessive fans and how that ruins the day. And I'm like, well, at least you're not like this. There's a sports radio guy in Cleveland, right? You want to talk about this is the epitome of someone whose day is ruined by a team losing
Does
a game.
Did he lose his mind over this?
He apparently guaranteed that because, you know, he's a sports radio guy. He has power over whether or not the team wins or loses.
Guarantees
so,
it.
Right. I guess the Friday before the game, over the weekend, he said he guaranteed that the Cleveland Browns will beat the Denver Broncos. Well, spoiler alert, the Denver Broncos beat the Cleveland Browns. And he goes on the air 6 in the morning, and this is what he has to say.
So after this screaming and after this yelling, I'm sorry because it's 6:20 in the morning. I'm going to lay here and I'm going to take it. If you got something to say to me, you go ahead and say it. Because I made a guarantee that I'm personally responsible for. I got it coming to me because I'm a fool for having any faith whatsoever in this train wreck.
Oh, man.
That's about football, man.
Dude, see, that's what I'm saying, man.
It's about someone else getting paid millions of dollars to have to play a sport.
Yeah. Many, many of my dearest friends absolutely love football's the main one. I've got a few friends that are Mariners fans, a couple friends that are diehard Sounders
Those
fans.
Those Mariners fans have already given up,
They're
man.
Like zombies
they
now.
Are. I honestly feel bad for them. Like,
it's been 19
you know,
years,
like, you
man,
can drink
Ben.
With me for no good reason. You don't need depression. But my Seahawks buddies, man, those guys, like... Like, my bro Phil took his daughter out, and, like, I guess they weren't doing well, and it like they ended up leaving where they were. They went out for, like, a day of lunch, and they were so upset that they just went home. And I'm like, dude, maybe. Yeah, it bums me out. But I'm glad that I don't have that to also contend with.
Oh, God, no. I mean, honestly, I'm so happier now that I could just watch a game and win or lose, be entertained. Like, I love watching. I love the thrill of a game being close to the wire. Like, this game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Dude, yeah.
It was just like, it was super fun because they went into overtime and then they just marched down and won. It's like the high of highs. They won. But even that, they won. Awesome. 2 seconds later, I'm looking at my buddies. I'm like, hey, man, once DOA's done, what do you want to go to get some food? Do you want to get pizza? Do you want to get Chipotle? Because I'm kind of feeling pizza.
Ooh.
Like, and at that point, it was already done and it was over. Win or lose, like, I just want some freaking pizza. So we went to Sizzle Pie and it was
nice,
freaking awesome.
Nice.
Sizzle Pie.
Yeah. May they rest in peace here in Seattle, but they still continue in Portland, because Portland keeps it weird.
Portland's got good food, man.
Yeah.
Like, legit, like, for the most part, I really don't like Oregon and Portland in general, but...
Did someone keep your gas cap? Is that what happened?
Here's the deal. It might have been my fault, but, yeah, the only real times that I've been pulled over... was in Oregon.
Really?
Bro.
And so I was just like, I hate Oregon. It might have been my fault, but that's not here nor there.
Speeding?
Dude.
Yes.
Did someone try and get out of the trunk at a stoplight? I mean,
no, but the other, first time was speeding, and I was like, yes, I was going like 15 miles over the speed limit, whatever. And then the other one was no seatbelt. Like, the cop came by, saw me,
no shoulder,
moved on, and then came back, and I hadn't, like, put on my seatbelt. And then I got pulled over.
You couldn't pull the lap belt move? Like, officer, I had my lap belt on until you approached
the
vehicle?
How long ago was this?
Oh, this was like 20 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
Like, no, it's like, seriously, like all long time ago.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've like been wearing my seatbelt like pretty much straight on since then.
I can't wear mine, dude.
Oh, look at you living on the...
How do you get away with it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, doesn't your car beep all the time?
No, it beeps twice and gives up, which is why I own it.
Congratulations, because nowadays...
Dude, the work vehicles, when I still worked for Live Oak, all their vehicles go berserk. So
yeah.
I wrap the belt around the seat and plug it in.
Jesus, dude.
No, I'm not even kidding.
As far as you will go to not wear the safety equipment.
The lap belt in and of itself is okay-ish, but the thing is, if I drive for a long time, which I generally do, I shift in my seat, and every time you shift, that thing gets a little tighter.
Oh.
So it's like I'm in the damn Iron Maiden, and... The other thing is,
just, like, unplug it.
The shoulder belt thing. Why would I'm busy in. Trying to drive, not hurt people.
Sorry.
You got me fiddling with this stupid belt.
You want him to do something unsafe?
I guess not.
While he's being unsafe?
The thing that goes across my shoulder makes me, I just can't. Look, when I was a little kid, my mom used to make me wear turtlenecks.
Now, here we go.
I don't know.
Is this a circumcision joke that we're about to walk through?
No. It would be great if it was.
I'm sorry, I just got distracted. I don't know who our coworker is with white pants, but oh my.
As you make a circumcision joke.
Whoa. Is she new?
I don't know who the hell that is. Maybe she doesn't work here.
Where's she at?
Where's she at?
Oh, there she goes. Oh.
Yeah, she's.
Huh.
Wow.
Congratulations.
She's not even wearing heels.
I gotta be better at saying hi to people at work.
Yeah.
No, just stare at her creepily.
You gotta get to know someone before you can harass them. You gotta get to know them, dude.
Just
that way,
creepily talk about
the testicles against the glass.
Oh, man.
She'll be like, oh, Steve's so funny.
And they go up to her and be like, did you hear us talk about you on my podcast?
Meanwhile, she's
can
the head of HR.
Can you just skip the 27th minute of our podcast, please?
I have to bleep all of that out.
What was I even talking about?
We were talking about you being an unsafe driver.
Oh, yeah, turtlenecks.
I'm not
turtlenecks
unsafe in your, at all.
You're an unsafe, circumcised driver.
No, man, so my mom used to wear turtlenecks, and I don't know if I just didn't like them. That might be it. Mm-hmm. Or if they really were three sizes too small. But it felt like being choked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate turtlenecks.
So to this
I do not
to
like
this
turtlenecks.
Day, I don't like, don't. Touch my neck. Don't grab me by my neck. Don't mess with, like, to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that damn shoulder belt, I think it's because I'm tall, too. I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
The pressure on my collarbone is just close enough that my brain's like, I feel like I've got someone's
You're
hands around my neck.
Me.
Yeah, so I don't, and I look at my car, I'm surrounded by airbags. If anything happens, I'm turning into a marshmallow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like, yeah, I can't do seatbelts. I will not wear, I don't do them.
Salsa,
what was cool is I always drove vintage cars, so when I got pulled over,
you could be like, I don't
know. The guy'd walk up and say, were you wearing your seatbelt? I was like, yes, sir. I took my lap belt off so I could open the glove box and get my registration.
Yeah.
But now I'm in a new car, and it's like, were you wearing your seatbelt? I'm like, how good are your eyes?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see you wearing it. Well, sir, you might want to look again because I took it off when you pulled me over.
Uh-huh.
And then it's
see, I'm so bad at lying that I can't.
And now all the officers will be like, I have this episode of the Migs cast from November
5th. Yeah, but after that, I rethought everything and started wearing my belt.
He's like, I got shamed by my friends, and now I wear my seatbelt.
I can't do them. Seatbelt. Besides which, like, so I take off my seatbelt and I get on my motorcycle, which is essentially like it's like a lawn chair that does 70.
Yeah, it's a rolling death trap, man.
Yeah,
good on you guys for doing it, but, not me.
But
man.
Dude, like, I had a somber story in a way, but it was just like one of those moments where you have to just kind of like stop stressing over the small things. I was going on 167, stuck in traffic, and I was just getting pissed because I was like, I got to get home. My wife and I are going to go to an ultrasound appointment. So I'm just like, what the F? Like, this is stupid. It's 1 p.m. Why is there traffic? Slowly moving. Finally get by it, and it is an accident. And it was a motorcycle accident, and there was a bag.
Yep.
And I was just like, ugh. It was a Friday. I'll never forget that because I was like, I'm bitching about traffic.
Some guys.
When somebody's whole family, not to mention the guy's no longer with us, but he's gone, right? Mm-hmm. His whole family, their weekend is now starting that their dad, their brother, their whoever is no longer with us because who knows what. And I see like three different cars pulled off to the side. I'm like, you know, you create
something
the scenarios.
Bad happened.
Something happened. Yeah. Someone swiped him. Something happened. Who knows who was at fault? But I'm like, his whole world and the people in it has now been impacted by that. And I'm bitching about whether or not I'm going to get home in time to take my wife to an ultrasound appointment.
Did you see that and take your seatbelt off?
I did, yes. And then I flipped off all the other drivers.
Y'all suck!
But you know what I mean? It's just like, whoa, this is like, it's one of those moments.
Since I've started riding, I've
thought of you, honestly.
I've passed a few where there's a bike in a pile on the ground, and there's usually shattered debris everywhere, and by that point, you know, whoever's gone from the scene, or I did see one where a bunch of people were gathered around, some poor guy was laying there, looked at me like some lady clipped him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, there it is.
That's it.
And that's in an just the way it is. I don't know.
No, it's just awful.
Knock
it's
on like, Masonite.
So, and I don't know how that accident happened, but man, make sure you know where you, I mean, I just assume like someone was making a change in lanes, didn't see the motorcyclist.
Oh, yeah.
So that seems to be the typical story. And
I've had them come over on me, and that happens more than anything else is people just come right over on you.
That's why people always like clown on me when they drive me, because I'll put my signal, I'll look in the mirrors, and I'll turn my head.
Check your blind spot.
And I'll do it I'll do it multiple times.
Check your blind spot,
because one time I remember going to see a WWE in Tacoma with my friend who was also a stripper. I was very excited about this.
Interesting.
And we were driving. This is a stupid ad in the park. It was a humble brag that I was a friend with a stripper who was
Deja Vu Showgirl
of the Year.
By his passenger.
Nice.
She was what? What was she?
Deja Vu Showgirl of the Year 1 year.
Oh, so she wasn't one of the three ugly
ones?
No, she was not. She was one of the hottest ones. So anyways, we're going to see the WWE, and I'm about to go turn into one of the lanes, and I just looked and all that on the mirrors.
Your boner rubbed the wheel. Distracted you.
My boner almost hit the motorcyclist. Not my car, but my boner.
Boner take the wheel.
And that guy, he followed me with just flipping me off for the entire next 3 miles, and I'm looking over, and I gave him the look like,
I'm sorry.
You're right. Yeah. And ever since then, I always make it a point. I think about that moment. I don't want to get flipped off by a motorcyclist again. I don't want my boner almost hitting somebody. I make it a point to look because I don't want to hit somebody, man.
No, you're right.
People, when you're changing lanes, you think everything's cool. Just give the courtesy to look for one last second before.
Well, as a guy that rides pretty much any time I can, I'm mega defensive. You got to assume that everyone is trying to kill you.
Yep. I feel that way with semis.
Drive that way,
dude,
too.
Yeah.
Oh, semis, man. Yeah, those guys, you got to watch out for semis anyway. But yeah, you just, and I try to tell people, like, I don't think it's people's fault. I mean, you're trained as a driver by repetition to look for two things, other cars and pedestrians.
Yep.
Motorcycle is a weird thing that's like a foot wide and doesn't really belong in your blind spot doing 70.
And
right?
All of a sudden, they can just roll up on you.
Exactly. Yep. And so I don't fault drivers at all. And I've been cut off. I've had people come over on me, and I see the look on their face, and I usually give them the wave like, no one got hurt.
Yep, we're okay. We're alive.
No one got hurt. Like, yep. I'm not going to flip you off. And there was one guy that almost...
use your whip and bang your windshield.
Oh, yeah, right?
When Tawny and I were riding back from... did I tell this story on the cast?
I'm not sure yet.
I don't know.
When we were riding back up from California, it was nighttime and we were in around Lincoln City or something, and it was dark, and I saw this car, and I kind of, I really learned to really watch. People will give you hints.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was watching, and I was like, I don't trust that car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a multi-lane road with just one of those yellow curb things kind of in the middle of it, but like three lanes on either side, maybe speed limit's 40, and I'm doing about 50. And I looked, and sure enough, the car at the last minute hooked and cut across in front of me.
Okay.
So I got on the clutch, I got on the brakes, then I let go of the front brake and was just riding the rear brake so I could flip that MF-er off with my hand as high as I could get.
Yeah.
And I was also kind of correcting and pushing left to not, Well, I was so busy flipping the dude off, and of course, they almost hit me, that I saw that I was about to crash badly.
Oh, geez.
Because I was about to.
Oh, yes.
I was going to hit the median thing.
I was about to hit the wrong side of the road.
Okay, tell the story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I hear you.
But still, yeah.
But yeah, that's a bad example because I shouldn't have been flipping them off. But I think no matter what, you got to ride defensively. You got to ride really defensively. Even my lane position, like when I'm on five, I hug the shoulder, I hug the white stripe. or based on what's going on. Like if I'm coming
Jack
up on
or Meg.
Like a
sorry, dad jokes. I'm working on it.
Depends on the alcohol intake.
That was a good one.
Basil repeating. Lane position. Just at anyway. Be defensive. And seatbelts are. I don't like seatbelts, man.
It's a good way to be though, because like when I'm driving, the simple fact of the matter is you do not know what the person in front of you is going to do.
Hell no. Never tailgate.
No.
Do not tailgate.
And then it's just like you try to think, and it's like one of those things where you're like, well, think what they could possibly do. What's the worst thing that they could possibly do?
And always have a plan.
Yeah.
What are you going to do if they do X?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
My wife always makes fun of me. My wife, she always makes fun of me whenever I'm...
You've been loving that lately.
I don't know why.
It's been cracking me up every single time.
It makes me laugh every time, too, and I don't
every
even know...
Time.
Where is it even from? Is it Borat?
It's Borat.
Yeah.
And I just,
but
I love
why
it.
Is it fun now?
I don't know. Like, Doug Benson does the same thing every time. And every, like, seriously, it's funny every single time.
Because I'm trying to be better about the wife, because some people, for some stupid reason, are offended when guys say the wife, because it's like you're talking about them like as if they're property.
Oh,
the
yeah,
wife.
They're a possession.
I've been calling my wife the bride forever. I'm like, I got to check
the bride.
I don't
think there's anything wrong with it.
I call her the bride. I think it's kind
of. I think of Uma Thurman.
And then I call her wife person. I call her. I'm like, oh, I got to check out my wife person.
Check on the human.
Yeah, she's my wife person, and she's the bride. I've been calling her the bride for how long have we been married?
Dude, people get the panties and a bunch of the dumbest stuff, and the wife, it seems to be one. So now I've switched to my wife.
My wife.
She doesn't identify as my wife.
So you can't help it. It's funny.
I'm not want to find if Borat says it on somewhere.
I was involved in a car accident yesterday.
With my wife.
With my wife. Well, actually, it's funny because
What did you do, Glenn?
I pulled over to text the bride, and because I was just having an S day, which is funny that that's when that happened. But a lot of times I find when I text the bride, things take a turn for the better. So the text literally reads like, so I'm sending this text in the hopes that things will turn for the better as a result of me simply communicating with you. And I'd pulled into a parking spot down on Westlake, and I literally had pressed send and crunch, just blam, like
wow,
to the point where I knocked my phone out of my hand. I looked up, and the guy that had been parked in front of me, I guess, got in his car, put it in reverse, mashed on the gas.
Didn't even think of it.
So I threw my hands up so he could see me.
What Dick. The French
you know,
toast?
It's, yeah. It's the silent version of bro.
Yeah, yeah,
totally.
So he
I'm
pulls,
disappointed in you, bro.
He pulls forward. I get out of my car. He gets out of his car.
Yeah, at least he didn't bail.
His eyes are huge. And I walk and I look, and the back of his bumper's got some sort of crease marks in it where he hit mine. But I look at the front of my car, and I'm like, I don't really see much. And by that point, he's there, and I'm like, hey, man. And I'm shaking his hand. I shook his hand. I'm like, well, I don't really see a lot of damage, man. Let's just see what's going on here. And I heard this female voice say, oh, my God, that just made my day. And I looked up. It's Westlake. It was busy. There was like a crowd of 15 people that witnessed this. So they just saw this crunch.
Uh-huh.
And then I get out and I shake the guy's hand. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? Let's just have a look here. Yeah. And so I turned to the crowd. I went, what, the handshake or the wreck? And so like 12 people crack up laughing. The only
so random.
The only one that didn't laugh was the guy that had hit me. His eyes were
just like mortified.
He's like, what the hell's going on? But I was like, look, man, let me just pop my hood and make sure that
there's no cracks,
cool.
No issue. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, dude, you know, and he's like, oh, God. He's like, I'm so sorry. That's totally my fault. I'm like, man, it's all right, dude.
Accidents
you know, it's,
happen.
Yeah, and I got in, I popped the hood. Everything's cool. Hood latches. I looked, man, it's fine. Shook his hand again.
Oh, my neck.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Oh, my balls.
But yeah, everyone laughed but him, man. I'm telling you, when I was like, what are you laughing about, the handshake or the wreck?
Yeah, yeah.
No, the girl that said, oh, my God, that made my day, because I was being so nice.
Yeah.
And so I immediately made,
hot.
She was a cute little blonde
nice.
In black yoga pants. Yeah,
she have white pants on work here.
Is she the head of HR?
Doesn't need to wear heels.
But yeah, yeah, it was an interesting moment in time. But I think it was a good karma moment because the guy was totally, he was like, OS.
He'd probably like, I don't have insurance and I'm high.
Yeah. I'd have been like, get out of here. I'll call you later.
Go. Run.
This is my wife.
My wife.
This is my other wife. This is my mistress. This is my girlfriend. This is my sister. One I have to pay money for, but she worth it. Wah wah wee wah,
wah wah wee wah,
wah wah wee wah.
My wife,
my wife.
Anything going on before we get out of here for you, my friend? I know you have a couple shows. One in Oregon and what? Dante's
in Oregon on the 14th, which is a Thursday.
Is that a strip club?
No. Dante's Inferno, but they do have go-go dancer cages. Nice. So generally, there'll be like a couple hot chicks in cages dancing, kind of like the Whiskey used to do back in the day.
My wife.
It's never a bad thing. My wife, my bride.
This is my sister.
She's in my bride.
She likes to dance in cages.
But no, that's the 14th. I'm at Louis G's with Larry Mitchell and Eve Clark. Larry Mitchell's like a world-class guitar player.
Yeah,
Steve Vai and stuff. And then Eve Clark's she's amazing. So I'll be there the 15th. But I did have a thing. My good friend JT Hill died of a heart attack.
I saw your post.
Yeah.
44 years old, man. Raking leaves. His wife gets home. He's like, you know, I'm not feeling good, and gone.
Wow.
So, wow.
Yeah.
But they had just bought a new house. I think they bought the house about a year ago. He's got two daughters and his wife, Wendy. So there is a GoFundMe out there, and it's We Heart the Hill Family.
Okay.
Their goal was... I guess they changed the goal. Originally, it was $5,000. It shot past that. Now it's up to $10,000. It's up to $7,300. $10, $15. I don't care if it's $5, but We Heart the Hill Family. Really good friend of mine. People don't even realize that the night Brian Muir left, this was our original drummer, left us standing on stage after I'd fought to get us a gig. I drove straight to JT's house that night after Mark Harris and I loaded our gear off the stage and asked JT to be the drummer of Windowpane. Mm-hmm. And he was in a band called ATF at the time. And like, he's standing there in his t-shirt and boxers. It's midnight on like a Wednesday. He's like, what are you doing at my house? I'm like,
hey, Glenn.
Be my drummer. The guy was remarkably talented and just this sweet, amazing human being. And the guy's a year younger than us, bro.
Yeah.
With a family.
Yeah.
And just...
That's heavy.
It's freaky. Yeah. I've certainly grieved, but I still kind of can't wrap my goddamn head around it. Like, just what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, there's a GoFundMe out there, and if you're willing, man, $5, $10, whatever you're willing to do, it's We Heart the Hill Family. If you would go there and kick them a couple bucks just to help Wendy and the girls get through this hump. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine him being gone. I can't even imagine what it's like for his daughters and his wife.
Right.
So.
They're dealing with that. And then on top of it, the reality of
they're in a new
house
home,
payments.
His income's gone. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the realities of it are just, you've got to be kidding me. So yeah, it's We Heart the Hill Family at GoFundMe.com. That's what I have going on. Hug somebody you love. And man, if you're a cup of coffee's $5, send them $5, man. I'll buy you a damn cup of coffee to make up for it.
Yeah. Come to our station. If you do that, you can come to our station and get a free cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly, man. A shot
it
of Jameson's
good,
$9
yeah,
at like most places. I'll buy you the $9 shot of Jameson.
You go to the Rev's house one night, he'll give you a shot of Jameson.
Truth.
Right, true.
Yeah. Oh, I got to get some normal.
Or one of those Jello shooters that you can strip paint with.
Yeah, I got a pretty quiet weekend, I think, this weekend. Just going to do some stuff, baby detail, getting the house all ready to rock, getting that room all set to go. But yeah, thanks everyone again, the people that came out to Portland for DOA Pro Wrestling. And huge thanks to Gregory Iron, the guy I wrestled. He pushed me in ways that I never thought I could be pushed in the ring. Like, I mean, he's called the handicap hero and all that fun stuff. But at the end of the day, this guy's an incredible wrestler, a great mind for wrestling. And he was making me think and do things that I never thought I was capable of. And it probably didn't show in the ring to people who watched.
It's cool though, man.
But it did to me. Like, yeah. He made me be better in that ring, and I owe him a lot. The guy is an incredible human being and an inspiration, but also just an awesome, awesome dude. Like, next time, if he's in town early enough, he should hang out with us. The guy is funny as
hell. Yeah.
Sweet.
That'd be cool.
Seriously. I like that.
Good dude. Rev, Grit City Podcast?
Grit City Podcast. Check it out, because we talk with JP, who works with Real Art Tacoma, and we talk about keeping Tacoma feared. Got to keep it real.
I want a t-shirt so
bad. They got them out there, man.
That
I'll find
is hot,
you one.
Man.
I'll find you
one. Do they have black ones with white lettering and a soft style shirt?
They probably
keep Tacoma
do.
Scary.
I'll buy a large.
All right, then.
So
all
right. Bad.
We love you guys. Thank you for listening. Please keep Mama Hognado in your thoughts, and we'll see you next time. And stay positive.